years ago. In fact, it's been quite a few years ago. It was back when the Dairy Queen and Stewart's Draft was located where the donut shop is now. I remember walking into the Dairy Queen and placing the order, and as I turned around, I noticed above the windows that faced out toward the U.S. 340 a quote, and I read that, and I said to myself, wow, that's pretty good. So, you know, I had to read it about two or three more times to sort of let it sink in. The quote went something like this: I know you think you understood what I said, but what you don't know is that what you thought you heard me say is not really what I was trying to tell you. Did you get that? I know you think you understood what I said, but what you don't know is that what you thought you heard me say was not really what I was telling you. I think we would all agree that communication is complex. We well know, from my interaction with each other, that sometimes communication doesn't always get through. How many of you have told your spouse or someone else, you weren't listening to me, were you? Are you listening? How many of us have been accused of having selective hearing? Or maybe some of us have been told it's time for you to get a hearing aid. How many of us have had the radio on and we really did not hear the weather? Or we did not hear the news? I know I raised the question. I'm not going to embarrass you too much, Bertha, but there have been times when I have asked her, what was the weather? I know she heard it, but she really wasn't listening to it. She couldn't tell me anymore what the weather was going to be like. How many of us have slept through the alarm on an alarm clock? I remember when I was a student at Eastern Midland High School, we were five-day students. We'd go down and stay during the week. And we had some jobs that we were supposed to do there. And one was to sweep and polish the floor there in the old Ag administration building. And, there were times when that alarm clock would go off and, you know, we just, I don't know, I guess we went to bed too late the night before, although lights were supposed to be out at 10 o'clock, I think, something like that. But, no, we actually got so calloused that we slept through that alarm clock sometimes. That alarm clock actually did not awaken us. Communication is complex. I came across this definition for communication. Communication is the sharing of information and making it commonly understood by both the sender and the receiver. Clear communication requires three things. Have an idea what it is? Clear communication requires, first of all, a sender. Secondly, it requires a message. And number three, it requires a receiver. Now, we can give some examples. An example of a successful communication taking place is, and we have a number who have taught school here, some are still teaching school, and some of us, we graduated from that. Hardly seems possible. I've been out of the classroom now for 11 years. But I had to think of this. You take a good teacher who has taught a lesson well, or a unit of lessons, and then gives a test. You know, if you have all those students who receive at least a passing grade, I would say good teaching, good communication has taken place. But on the other hand, if you have teaching, I guess you're trying to get your point across, and for some reason, whatever it is, you give a checkup or a test and no one passes, then I think it's time for the teacher to be looking maybe at the approach or the method that is being used. Something is happening. Communication is not getting through. Today, I would like for us to think a little bit about God's communication to the human race, God's communication to you and to me. Again, remember, communication involves a sender, it involves a message, it involves a receiver. God is the sender. His communication has always been quite clear. In fact, today we have access to God's clearest communication. The message is clear. The message is concise. And I had to think of the golden text of the Bible. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message. The message has come in the work of the person of Jesus Christ. And so the real test about whether communication from God has been successful is in your hands and it's in my hands. Have I truly listened? Have I been a good receiver? Have we truly received God's message to us individually? Hebrews 1 informs us that God has spoken through the prophets. He has spoken at various times. He has spoken in various ways, but he has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to this, and I'd like to read a few verses here from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Quite an interesting passage of Scripture. And I would like for us to take from this passage the idea that God's complete, most complete communication to the human race is found in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. These verses tell us that God in the past has spoken, in the Old Testament, spoke through the prophets. He spoke through special events. He spoke through, spoke to the people in various ways. And as I reflected on that, I had to think, first of all, God did indeed speak through creation. I am a firm believer in creation. For me, it takes less faith to believe that in the beginning there was God. It takes less faith for me to believe that an infinite, all-powerful God created the universe and created life to fly in the air, to swim in the ocean, to roam the earth, and to create the human race in his own image. It takes less faith for me to believe that than to believe that the earth and the life in and on the earth just simply started with a blob, I suppose, and it evolved and evolved until we have what we have today. That's take a lot of faith to believe that, you know. God spoke in creation. I had to think of the poem that James Weldon Johnson, I believe, wrote, and I don't know if some of you are aware of this or not, but I'll just advertise. My brother Marvin, he knows that. And maybe sometime you can get him. He maybe would have to brush up on a little bit. You know, it's that poem where God stepped out in space. He looked around and he said, I'm lonely. And he says, I'm going to make myself a world. And so he makes the world. And after a while, he continues to look around and he says, you know, I'm lonely still. Didn't have anyone to have fellowship with. And so God thought and thought. And finally he said, I'm going to make myself a man. I'm going to create the human race. And so he goes through that process of getting that clay together, creating man, and breathing into that being the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You know, we believe that human beings, we have a part of God within us. I believe that's what it means to have been created in the image of God. We have a bit of God in us. God has created us to have that desire to worship Him, to serve Him. People, there is that desire there to worship something. We have too many people who are worshiping the wrong thing. God spoke in creation. He also spoke directly to individuals. And as I reflected on the Garden of Eden scene, do you think that maybe God showed himself completely, his face and all that, to Adam and Eve before they sinned? You recall that after they partook of this tree that they were not to partake of, they were afraid of God. They hid. They heard God walking. I don't know if I ever reflected on that before. Did they actually see the face of God? There is that idea that they had a very close relationship with each other. We do know that after that, there was Moses who wanted to see God's face, and God would not allow him to do that. He said, no one can, you know, see my face and live. Moses was able to see the back part of God. There were others who God spoke to individually. I think of Noah, a righteous man in an evil society. And God found that it was necessary to destroy the human race because of the sin, the evil. But he talked directly related to Noah. You have Abraham in his call in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 22 where he was tested. After years, he received this son, Isaac, and he was told by the Lord to go and offer his son as a sacrifice. You have Elijah in 1 Kings 19 after that mountaintop experience. And then all of a sudden he goes down into the valley. You know, Jezebel says, I'm, you know, may the Lord take my life, I guess, if you're not like one of these prophets that you have slain. And so the prophet Elijah is running for his life. And the Lord comes, what are you doing here? He hears the voice of God. God spoke to many people through dreams and visions. The prophet Joel, and he's referred to again in the book of Acts during that Pentecost experience, that the young men, they would see visions, and the old men would dream dreams. There are many examples. Ezekiel having his vision. The experience of Jacob seeing that ladder, you know, when he was running for his life. But I think there's a word of caution here. How many times maybe have you said, have I said, or you've heard someone say, the Lord spoke to me, or the Lord, and I believe the Lord does speak to us. But I think there's a caution here, and that is, how do I know for sure it is the Lord speaking to me and not Richard Showalter speaking to me? You know what I mean? And I think there's value in, when we believe the Lord has spoken to us, to share that with the body, with the congregation, with fellow believers, with brothers and sisters in Christ. And to get feedback from them. One of your former pastors here, Brother Richard Weaver, I remember him saying in council meeting or when the congregation would be making a decision, is there anyone who would have a check? Remember him using that word? Having a check. And if you had a check, then we needed to check that out. You know, we needed to look at that and try to see whether there was validity in that hesitation to move ahead or whatever. We need each other. And so I believe that when we believe the Lord is speaking to us or sharing with us to go in a certain direction, there is real value in sharing that with the fellowship of believers that we relate to. God spoke through the prophets. in our Sunday school lessons just we have come through. In fact, we're still looking at the message that the prophets gave to the children of Israel, to Judah, the southern kingdom, and I believe to us today. But in these last days, according to Hebrews 1, God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus is the radiant glory of God. And all that Jesus is and does, that is His person, His work, marks Him as God. Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is the center of our Christian faith. In fact, it is the centrality of Jesus Christ that makes Christianity different from any other religion. I remember a number of years ago, we had a resource person at Springdale who was talking about comparative religions in our world today. And basically what he was saying was that he felt that the Islamic faith and Christianity have basically the same God. I have a problem with that. And the reason I have a problem with that is because other faiths do not really recognize Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. And I believe that when questions were raised and passages of Scripture were referred to, such as 1 John 2, verses 22 and 23, reads like this: Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And then in chapter 4, we have these words. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Those passages of Scripture are very clear. And it is Jesus Himself who said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And I know there are people who say, well, if you come on too strong with that, you're somewhat of a bigot. You don't allow for other ways to God or other religions. And I like what the Southern Baptist minister said on one occasion. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And if you have a problem with it, I guess you have to take it up with Him. When some of these references were referred to, I remember this resource teacher saying, well, maybe we could say it this way. Rather than saying we have basically the same God, there are certain characteristics about these gods that are the same. Now, I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem saying we have the same God when we do not recognize Jesus Christ for who He is and for what He has done. I have a firm belief and conviction that we cannot exalt the name of Jesus Christ too much. Some of us who are older remember Brother George R. Brunk II, who is no longer living. He's the one who was that dynamic preacher on the tent revivals. The whole gospel for the whole world. How many of you attended some of those meetings? A number of you did. And that booming voice. I remember on one occasion, Brother Brunk said that he had committed himself that in every message that he preached, he would make reference to the work, the person of Jesus Christ. And I think that's good. I would like to read now from Colossians 1. It talks about the supremacy of Christ, how supreme Christ is. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Jesus Christ is indeed the glory of God. He is part of the Godhead. A number of years ago, I came across a quote, and I would like to refer to that right now. It was around Christmas time. And some of you are aware that I deliver flowers for Milmont Greenhouses 2 days a week. I do it not because I have to. It's one of the best jobs I've had, I guess. I just like doing it. And as I went into one of the forests over in Charlottesville around Christmas time, they had there a little flower like this. And I said, you know, I like that. And I believe they went, and this was actually a, I don't know if this was the original or not, it might be. They gave me a copy anyway. It goes like this. God sent us a Savior. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was, what do you think? Our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. God's communication to us is clear. It has come to us in the work and person of Jesus Christ. We have a better view and a more complete understanding of who God really is than anyone who has ever lived before us. We know from New Testament theology, from the New Testament that we have available to us, that our God is a God of love. We know from New Testament teaching that God desires that everyone, as our Sunday school lesson said today, everyone would be saved. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his Son that we might have that second chance. God, the sender of communication, has been very clear. The message in the work and person of Christ is just as clear. The question is, have I been a good listener? The question is, have I been a good receiver? Have you? Have I heard from God recently? God's clear communication depends on you and on me. And my prayer today is that God would help each one of us to be better listeners. With his help, may we truly hear the message that he has given to us. Not only do we have the work of Christ, but we also have the Word of God. As I reflected on this, I had to think of the book that Brother J.C. Wanger, a theologian at Goshen College and seminary there, a number of years ago, he wrote the book, The Word of God Written. So God's Word has come to us in the work and person of Christ, but it has also come to us in the written Word, the Bible. And I believe that we need to be continually challenged to read more from this book. We have so many things that divert our attention, so many things that we give our attention to. And we need to think about that we can be a better receiver as we reflect not only what Christ has done for us, but as we study, as we read, as we reflect on the Word that God has given to us. God's clear communication, it depends on you and me. Let us pray. Father, we do confess that we have not always heard and received the message that you have given. And we pray that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you would help us to open up our lives to the message that you have for us. Help us, Father, to truly hear your message. And may we be able to receive it and allow your word to take fruit in our lives. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen.